Now, for the rest of the hour, we're going to be focusing on what's going on with Bernie. He took the nation by storm on Monday, April 15th, in a much-talked-about Fox News town hall where he made his case for his 2020 campaign. Now, of course, it was controversial being on Fox at all, but Bernie's town hall event was the most watched town hall event of the 2020 campaign thus far, this according to Nielsen data. Also, Bernie is ahead of all of the others in the Democratic Party field in terms of fundraising. Of course, Joe Biden has not yet officially entered the race, but Bernie is also, for the first time in some polls, showing ahead of Biden, who is seen as a safe, you know, kind of centrist Democratic candidate. But let's go to some of the what Bernie had to say, the exchange that happened with Bernie Sanders at that Fox television town hall.
He came within a hair of the 2016 Democratic nomination.
This time, Senator Bernie Sanders says he's going all the way.
What's going to be different this time?
We're going to win.
With the party moving left, the independent Democratic Socialist from Vermont reminds voters he's the original.
3 years ago, during our 2016 campaign, we were told that our ideas were radical and they were extreme.
And in the shadow of this once iconic steel plant,
Senator Bernie Sanders talks the economy, jobs, and his vision for the future of America.
Hey, President Trump. My wife and I just released 10 years. Please do the same. Democratic socialism, to me, is creating a government and an economy and a society which works for all rather than just the top 1%. It means ending the absurd inequalities that exist today. And I want to lay this out because you're not going to hear this much on Fox and you're not going to hear this much in the media in general. And the American people have got to conclude whether we think it is appropriate and what America is about to have three families owning more wealth than the bottom half of the American society, 160 million people, whether it's appropriate for the top 1% to own more wealth than the bottom 92%, whether it is right that 49% of all new income goes to the top 1% when many people, Brett and Martha, who are watching this program, are working two or three jobs just to pay the bills. So, first of all, we want to create a government that works for all of us, and we want to create a political system which is based on one person, one vote, not billionaires buying elections as a result of this disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision. And furthermore, when I talk, and you know, people have different views of capitalism or democratic socialism, whatever it may be, but this is my view. I believe that human beings, especially in a wealthy, democratic, civilized society like our own, are entitled to certain basic rights. So let me be very clear, and I'm sure we'll discuss it later in the show, Brett. I believe that healthcare is a human right, not a privilege. And I believe that there is something embarrassingly wrong when the United States of America is the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people. I live 50 miles from the Canadian border.
We're going to get in detail about Medicare.
All right. So health care is right. I believe that education, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, you have the right to get all of the education you need. And that is why I believe we should make public colleges and universities tuition free.
All righty. So there you go. Some of Bernie's message. I wish we could hear a bit more, though a lot more was said on that town hall. I really think it's worth watching. But I'd like now to welcome our guests. First, I'd like to welcome Diane May. She is the communications director of Our Revolution, a leading nonprofit advocating for issues like Medicare for all and tuition free public college. Diane May, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Margaret.
I'd also like to welcome Norman Solomon, journalist, media critic, author, and activist. His dozen books include War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. In 2016, Norman Solomon was elected as a Bernie Sanders delegate to the Democratic National Convention, where he was the coordinator of the Independent Bernie Delegates Network. He is a co-founder and national coordinator of the online organization RootsAction.org, which now has 1.2 million active supporters in the United States. Norman, welcome.
Thank you, Margaret.
Norman, we'll start with you. What are the centrist Democrats so afraid of here?
Well, they're afraid of a strong progressive populist candidate and a campaign behind him that could triumph and get him into the White House. Losing control of the Democratic Party is frightening and enraging to the corporate Democrats who have had such a hold on the National Party. And we are moving into a phase, a historic phase, of a huge battle between grassroots progressives giving an average of $20, $25 a donation to the Sanders campaign, and the Wall Street-backed corporate Democrats who do not want to lose their hold on the National Party.
Yeah, and Diana May, first tell us a bit, because I know it's confusing to some, the relationship between Our Revolution and Bernie and Bernie's campaign, because Our Revolution came out of Bernie's campaign. Tell us that and the role Our Revolution is playing now that Bernie has declared again.
That's right. Our Revolution was founded out of the Bernie Sanders campaign. We like to say he was our inspiration. And so since 2016, when we were founded, we have taken the lead in organizing the movement that grew out of the campaign to continue to, you know, organize and advocate for the issues that Bernie Sanders talked about during the campaign. So, you know, Medicare for all, free college tuition, increasing the federal minimum wage, and so many other issues, and also supporting progressive candidates who were inspired by Bernie's campaign and wanted to run for office in their own communities as well.
Right, and you've had some success and some losses, though, in that field, Diana May.
Yeah, well, we're really proud of our successes. We endorsed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We endorsed Rashida Tlaib. We've endorsed candidates for governor. We've endorsed Randall Woodfin in Birmingham, Alabama. So we're really proud to see our candidates winning, not just in blue states or quote-unquote blue districts, but also in the South and in red states as well.
So are you all able to actively be involved in supporting Bernie, or are you basically have to stick with some of the issues like Medicare for All that Bernie has put forward? Diana?
We're definitely involved in supporting Senator Sanders' run. While legally we can't coordinate with the campaign, we are helping our over 600 local groups all across the country and in nine other countries to organize for Bernie in their own communities, whether that looks like, you know, tabling at public events or, you know, calling their friends and neighbors and getting them to support Bernie. We absolutely are involved in making sure that Senator Bernie Sanders is our next Democratic presidential nominee.
Yeah, and Norman Solomon, I wanted to play that clip of Bernie defining what a democratic socialist is, because it's clear that what Trump and his supporters are going to do is to just bash socialism. He's calling Bernie crazy Bernie, and socialist being a nasty word here in these United States. That is not true, looking around the world, and indeed most of the world. So recently also, the Center for American Progress got into some controversy because of criticism. Some saw them as criticizing Bernie in a letter that was obtained by the New York Times. So there's some fierce infighting, it seems to me anyway, on the outside going on within the Democratic Party. Norman Solomon.
Well, on the first point, Bernie, as he did on Fox the other day, has doubled down and quadrupled down on advocating for democratic socialism. And CNN had a town hall with him a few weeks ago where he was asked about, well, you're a socialist, and he immediately replied, democratic socialist, lowercase d. He is emphatic that we have to ensure human rights for all, which include economic rights. And of course, he has an overall very class-oriented approach to how we get out of this rampant inequality and oppression that so many people suffer in so many ways. The Center for American Progress has a budget of $60 million a year. It's run by Neera Tanden, who has been very close with and worked as part of Hillary Clinton campaigns. And so what we're looking at is a really massive struggle between the forces that want to basically tinker at the edges with a corporate system which is inherently undemocratic, and what the Bernie Sanders campaign and grassroots activism for progressive causes, what all that really represents. And I think that Bernie Sanders as an individual, as a candidate, and the movements that are more and more coalescing as part of their work behind his presidential campaign are engaged in education and agitation. And you can hear it even in that just brief clip from Bernie, where he is trying to massively scramble the deck that corporate media have provided, get away from these stereotypes, really educate about what is amiss here, not scapegoating those who are oppressed like the right wing does, but go after those at the top of the economic ladder who are manipulating the so-called democratic system. And while educating, he's also agitating. And we're all engaged in organizing, and that is really a great hope for the future.
Yes, and you know, back to you, Diane, what we're seeing is that 12% of people who voted for Bernie in the 2016 race wound up voting for Trump in the general election. This was during the primary period, right? And this is data from the Cooperative Congressional Election Study. And that those voters were reflected in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, which the Democrats lost last time. So the issue now is, can Bernie win those states back? And with the work you all are doing with Our Revolution, is there a focus on the states that the Democrats lost? I mean, those Rust Belt states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and further north, Pennsylvania. Diane.
Well, I absolutely think that Bernie can win those areas back. You know, there's hundreds of counties across the country, many of them in the Midwest, who voted for President Obama twice and then voted for President Trump in the general election in 2016. And what that says is that, you know, in 2016, the candidate that we had wasn't talking about the issues that mattered most to them. You know, President Trump was able to really talk in a populist way that appealed to people, you know, in Lordstown, Ohio, for example, where Bernie just was, who really wanted to hear a candidate that was going to fight for them. But I think that we saw this weekend in Lordstown when Bernie went that people are really ready. They've seen that Trump has essentially lied to them, and they're looking at candidates to see who's really talking about their issues, who's really going to fight back. And I think a lot of those people are pretty disillusioned with President Trump.
Yeah, and our revolution. Right. Norman Solomon, back to you for a moment. I mean, in so many ways, an elephant in the room, from where I sit anyway, is the issue of race. Because, you know, here on Sojourner Truth, we've been talking about Donald Trump as being the global white supremacist in chief and bringing out the worst instincts of people and prejudices of people within the United States, but also lending power to rise of right-wing forces we see in certainly in some countries in Europe, with very few exceptions. And in the last presidential race, I mean, every sector of white people, non-college educated, college educated women, they all voted for Trump. And one has to wonder how much that racism or racist animosity had to do with that? And a lot of people say, well, that doesn't make sense because some of those people voted for Obama. So therefore, that eliminated race as a consideration. But a lot of us are not so convinced. And I really wish Bernie wouldn't use phrases like civilized society, which he did on Fox News, because a lot of us of color generally know what that means in terms of the global South. And also on the issue of reparations, a lot of people feel, well, he's a little bit shaky in contrast with some of the other candidates like Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris, for example. Any thoughts on this, Norman?
Yes, thank you. Well, you know, Bernie was confronted early on 4 years ago by Black Lives Matter, and later on Hillary Clinton and some others were as well. And I think Bernie was unique in that he actually responded and changed, both in terms of his staffing, which is now a majority of the top people of color, and also he changed in terms of what he had to say and what issues and how he was addressing issues. Stanley Greenberg, the pollster for the Democratic Party, said explicitly a year ago that contrary to mass media, the party doesn't have a, quote, white working class problem. It has a working class problem, and that's reflected in the turn down, the reduction in turnout among people of color in the general election in 2016, which then tipped the balance to Donald Trump. So I think that this is all a learning curve for Bernie, but we should remember he was arrested and involved in civil rights demonstrations back in college in Chicago a long time ago. Reparations is an intricate issue. Frankly, the right wing and the corporates love to bring it up because it's a way they think to drive a wedge between Bernie and people of color. And I think what he is saying, among other things, I certainly never attempt to speak for him, but my interpretation is that what Bernie is saying is that there are people disproportionately, people of color disproportionately affected by the inequality and the unjust social order in this country. Those people who are disproportionately affected are people of color, and we've got to go to the problem. And we need a commitment to ameliorate, whether it's police violence, the prison industrial complex, economic inequality, lack of access to college and health care. We've got to go directly to that problem. And I think what he's been saying is, when he's asked, which for media is sort of a gotcha question, do you support reparations? He's saying, let's talk about what we mean by reparations. When you drill down, other candidates are supporting a bill to set up a committee, an inquiry, to determine just what we do mean by reparations. So I think we're going to get clarity on this issue as the months move forward.
Right, and hopefully we'll see a bit more clarity from Bernie as well. I mean, we saw a university, I think it was George Washington, maybe, where their student body voted to increase their student fees by, I think, about $27 a semester, and that money would then go into a general fund to benefit the counties where descendants of people who were sold by that university enslaved. So there are a lot of things, practical things, likely that can be worked out. But no doubt, Bernie's shaking things up. And just a quick final, Norman Solomon, I don't know if you want to quickly weigh in on this, Diane May, but it does seem to me as though the Trump and the GOP going after Ilhan Omar and AOC, as she is now known, really is also about going after Bernie, frankly speaking. I mean, it's going after them also. I'm not saying it's the only thing, but what do you think, Norman? You think that's true?
Well, I think it is true. And Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib subjected to tremendous bigotry against Muslims and racist bigotry, has had the quickest and most affirmative, vehement support privately and publicly from Bernie Sanders of all the people in the Senate. And I think that just speaks to where we need to be headed.
Right. And Diane May, we're out of time, but we also see tremendous support among young people for Bernie. So mainstream Democrats better watch out. We want to, Norman, we have you back because this is the first as we're going to be doing our Sojourner Truth early presidential watch here. So I appreciate you taking the time, Norman Solomon, Diane May, to join us. Thank you.